Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a bi-weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Clemencia, and we are glad you're here. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Hey man, this is the part of the episode where we're supposed to advertise my book.
All right.
So what do you think we should say?
I don't feel bad about it. It's not a shameless plug. It's literally your book. You've put a lot of work into it.
That's a good point. So you need to pick up a copy. And hey, here's the thing. If you buy a copy and you didn't like it,
right.
Drew said he'll pay for you to ship it back.
It's not what I said. At least an In-N-Out burger. I'll ship to them.
You'll ship them.
If it's on the East Coast, it'll be all spoiled, but it's fine. Hey, I'm in this book too.
You are. You're actually in this book. And I say some things that people don't know about you. It's going to be great. I tell some stories.
All right.
Are you?
Where can people find this book at?
Oh, that's right.
And what it's called.
Okay. So you can pick up this book.
Right.
It's called The Quest for Friendship.
The Quest for Friendship. Insert Galleon's music here.
That's really what it is.
Right. It's happening right now. It's me speak.
The Idea Network publishing arm of our network has produced this awesome resource, and I really do appreciate it. It's exciting. It really is a discussion of friendship, and I want you to pick up a copy at ideanetwork.church in the shop tab. It's the very first resource at the very top. You can pick it up, and if you put in the promo code free shipping is yours.
All right.
Yeah.
There it is.
Go do it now.
The Quest for Friendship. Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. On today's episode, you're going to hear from Josh and I another AMA. Ask me anything.
Ask me anything.
I'm ready. You got a few questions heading your way before, right?
Yeah. We get some emails, and we don't mind that. Send the emails over to my email address, and you can send them anytime you want. Ask any questions you want, and we're going to address them right
Josh
here.
Josh at ideanetwork.church.
Well, if you do that, it might go to Ermler. So go Josh Tice at ideanetwork.church. Any question you have about anything. And I think this is episode, how many of these have we done?
I think this is our fourth.
Is that our fourth? Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
But I'm pretty sure it's our fourth.
So go back and listen to the other ones. They're actually some of the most listened to episodes we have because sometimes we touch on some controversial things and people love the controversy.
So true. First question.
Let's go.
I'd love to hear an update sometime on how the changes you guys have made to your live stream have worked out for you. Has a private stream helped or hurt your overall interaction? And has there been the Sunday show format has been better for a front door for potential church guests? So maybe describe briefly what is happening right now in our church
for those of
you who don't know, and then try to answer the question.
Great question. So for those who follow our ministry really closely, you'll know that we're not doing a traditional live stream format like a lot of churches. It's funny now that live stream is a traditional thing. But we're not doing a traditional live stream format coming out of the pandemic. We actually host something called the Sunday Show that had been for many, many months a pre-recorded basically 35 to 40 minute advertisement to, we call it the front door to Southern Hills to encourage people to come. Now it's gone into kind of a live stream or a live format. But still, the whole purpose of it is to be a front door to the church, not necessarily another campus.
So in other words, this is not marketed to your church people.
Correct.
It's marketed to people who are potentially seeking for a church.
Right.
Which is a different philosophy from a lot of churches that are out there.
Yeah, very different. We are not encouraging necessarily people to stay home and that sort of thing. In fact, near the end of the pandemic, and some will argue where we're at in the pandemic, but over the last few months, I'll just say it that way, we actually began to decrease the amount of people that have even access to our live stream to only those who would be considered the vulnerable population. And then in May, we got to a place where we said, okay, we need to only send that out to those who are shut-ins since the vaccine is widely available and widely distributed. Come back to church, get the vaccine if you need to, and come back to church. You don't have to have the vaccine, obviously, to come to church. But so live stream, most of our service is not available on Sunday. In fact, none of our service is really available on Sunday except for a very, very brief portion to the wider Las Vegas community. So we've created the Sunday Show, which is more of an advertisement saying, come, this is what it's like. So how has that affected our church? I think some positive ways and potentially negative ways. The positive way is that our comeback rate at Southern Hills, percentage-wise, is very, very high in comparison to most that are in the city, especially larger churches. So our comeback rate is climbing into this 80 and 82 percentile. We're having that many people return to our church that were not here before, close to 80, 82, 83%. That's wonderful for a church our size. We're really happy with that. And I think that's primarily because there's no other place to go. They, people are not given the option to be on their chair or their sofa and watch it. Why do we do this? I always tell guys when I have this personal conversation, they're like, hey, I want to hear what you're doing and think about it for ourselves. What we're doing here in Las Vegas is not instructive. It's what, like, this is what you should do. It's simply descriptive. This is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And the reason we're doing it is because we know our community. Las Vegas is Corinth. And I love Las Vegans. I love Corinthians. But Corinthians do not need another excuse to not come to church. They don't need another excuse to live stream the service on their way to the golf club. and that's primarily what we were seeing. A lot of people who were not necessarily needing to stay home because before they went to Chili's on Sunday with a full crowd and sitting there at the bar or whatever, yeah. They wanted to make sure that they could watch the service in their skivvies at home. And we're like, no, you need to come back or you don't have access.
And the philosophy here, again, like you're saying in Corinth, that being Las Vegas, is very different from a lot of places. And the fact that we were just talking before the podcast started, like there are people that have not been physically in the building of Southern Hills for 8 to 10 months and still consider themselves a regular attender.
Oh, absolutely.
And that just is not what we want, you know, that's what we're going forward. So I remember a couple podcasts ago when we were talking to Tom Rader about the post-quarantine church, and he talked about, you know, the potential negative impact of live stream on the church. He said that people that will do the best going forward are the people who don't use it as a competition, but as the complement to their in-person services.
Precisely.
And I think the way we have done it, you know, is a great thing to that. It's not a duplication of what they could see, you know, if they just showed up. It's not at all.
Yeah.
It's truly, like you're mentioning, the verbiage, an on-ramp and an advertisement for what Southern Hills is.
Yeah. And it gives a taste, you know, it's going to get a taste of what it sounds like. It's going to get a taste of what it looks like. They're going to get a taste of what the sermon is itself,
right.
But they're not going to feel satisfied. What we want them to feel is unsatisfied with the content, desire, right? You don't watch a commercial for Doritos and think, man, that was delicious. You think, man, I want Doritos.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what our goal is when it comes to our online philosophy and kind of what we're doing right now. Hey, and that's not to say that Drew and I might not be on here 6 months or a year from now and say, hey, you know what? We're just back to normal live stream. Yeah. And if that were the case, it's because we've come to a place where we think we've broken the habit, a necessarily bad habit, of those who really do need in-person gathering and the community that is found within the local church context.
And by you saying just a taste, like, we literally mean there's only your first point of your sermon.
Yeah.
And then it cuts back to our hosts and saying, like, hey, that was just a taste of what you could potentially see if you came to an actual person service here at Southern Hills. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, so the live stream, the live Sunday show format works like this. Somebody will tune in at, is it 10 o'clock?
10 a.m.
Yeah. 10 a.m. And what they're going to see is they're going to see two hosts, and behind them, with glass panels, they're going to see church service getting started, and there's going to be singing behind them and announcements and people walking around and ushers moving. And the viewer will only see that behind the windows, but they're going to see two live people talking to them and interacting and talking and being like, you know, Southern Hills is this, and this is what we have at Southern Hills, and these are events, and what's your favorite thing about the springtime and all of this kind of thing. They're going to be conversing as church is starting behind them for the first 10 minutes or so. After that, they're going to show some commercials of what Southern Hills would be like. And then they'll come back to the host, and then the host will throw it to the church service itself. They'll hear a little bit of my sermon, maybe 5-10 minutes of it, and then they'll throw it back to the host, and the host will be like, wow, isn't that a great beginning of a sermon? If you want to watch the whole thing, it'll be available on YouTube later this week. And if you want to come in person, we'll see you next Sunday.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the idea. It really is to give them a flavor of what it would be like if they showed up and not make them satisfied with sitting right there.
Cool. So next question, implementing revitalization plans.
Oh, yes.
Not coming up with ideas. I know what I want to do. Now I go to do it. How do you go about doing this? And how do you execute your big plans?
Okay. So yeah, this is not about coming up with new ideas. That's the problem. We go to an idea day. We go to an idea night. By the way, there's an idea night coming up here in September. I really hope you've already registered for yours at this point. Well, I think this episode drops on May 25th. And if that's the case, you can actually still register to host your own idea night. And we'd love for you to do so. All you have to do is contact ideanetwork.church and register to do so, or you can register for each location. We'd love to have you come to one of our idea nights. But you go to an idea day, you go to an idea night, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, I mean, this is a fantastic idea, but how do I actually implement it? And I've got three thoughts, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, Drew. Here are my three thoughts. Number one, or I'll give each thought, and then you give me yours, or, sure. Or give me what you think about it.
Yep.
Number one is accountability. Mm. Number one thing that helps us actually accomplish our goals is accountability. If you've got somebody in your life that you can say, hey, this is what I want to accomplish, will you hold me accountable to this? It's revolutionary, absolutely revolutionary. The second thing I would say is that the Idea Network actually offers an accountability process on this. It's called the Mastermind Retreat. The Mastermind Retreat is a brilliant idea that came up with by Josh Ermler. And what Josh Ermler does is he gets you, or it gets me and him, away in a cabin in Colorado for two nights, 2.5 days, with a group of 10 or 11 guys. That's it, small group of guys. And he coaches them through one big idea. How are you going to accomplish this one thing? For a lot of guys, it's things like, we're going to hire new staff. Okay, how do you do that? We're going to reestablish a new church constitution. Oh my gosh, that's a huge thing. How do you do that? We're going to develop a leadership pipeline. How do you do that? Whatever your one big idea is, we help you develop a master plan. And then we hold you accountable with 90 days of coaching that's offered to you individually to accomplish that thing. So the Mastermind Retreat, if you're interested in that, you can reach out and DM myself on social media or email me. You can email me at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. And the Mastermind Retreat, the other one would be coaching. So all of these are related to each other. But if you found a coach, any kind of a life coach, I have a coach that I meet with twice a month. Hmm. And the sole purpose that he is used in my life a lot of times is to hold me accountable to decisions I've made and implementation of ideas that I've come up with.
Yeah.
And so he's the one. For example, the reason we published The Quest for Friendship is because back in late 2019, I gave him that idea. He said, fantastic, what's your plan? I said, what do you mean my plan? He said, well, you know, you got to write this book. What does that look like? I said, well, it'll be about 12 chapters. He said, perfect, one chapter a month. What day of the week are you going to write on? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you need a day of the week. Block out 2 hours a week and start writing. And by the end of the year, you'll have it done. And so sure enough, because every single time he met with me, he said, did you write? Did you write? Did you write? And that accountability helped me accomplish this. So implementing revitalization plans, well, really, when it comes to implementing any ideas, what has worked for me is accountability, coaching, and the Mastermind Retreat. What about you, Drew? What are your thoughts as it relates to actually implementing the ideas that you come up with?
Sure. Execution, not just, like, we all can brainstorm for days and come up with amazing, awesome schemes. And they say a goal without a plan is a wish.
Yeah.
And I think about, you know, the fact that you brought up, you know, some stuff like accountability and trying to have people that are there to kind of coach you along it. That's a fantastic idea. And I love the fact that we have an avenue in which, you know, if people need to have a partner, so to speak, to walk the path with them, like, we have the opportunity to do that in the Mastermind Retreat. So I love all those ideas you shared. So,
by the way, personal coaching, even without the Mastermind Retreat or in addition to the Mastermind Retreat, is available at ideanetwork.church. All you have to do is go and go to the coaching tab. Under the coaching tab, you're going to find both men and women who are, you know, professional ministers in multiple different contexts who focus on different things. And you can actually hire them by the hour for coaching. You say, man, hire them. Look, what happens in your life is often directly related to the type of investment that you put into it. So will you invest the time and the money to accomplish what you want to accomplish?
Yeah.
This is why that's one of the many things that the Idea Network is attempting to offer. And by the way, those rates at $30 an hour, it's not what professional coaching normally costs.
Not at all.
So we want to encourage you to take advantage of that. This is how to actually implement your ideas.
All right. Next question.
Yeah.
Closing the back door. People come in, but they also go out. Mm. How do you stop this? What are some keys to doing that?
Okay. I love it. We just actually had this conversation In back in the month of April, we had this conversation in our the official membership. We have virtual roundtables every Tuesday in our membership program. Now, right now, currently, membership is closed. You cannot become an official member of the ID Network and part of our official charter membership. That's closed, I think, until the end of the year or whenever Josh Ermler and Kylie Dulo decide to open it back up. But currently, our current membership, which is only like 95 pastors or so, what we do is every single Tuesday we get together and we do a virtual roundtable. And in the month of April, we focused on assimilation. And one of the things that we talked about quite a bit is the aspect of closing the back door and making sure that a first-time guest can become a fully engaged member. There are two sides of a coin as it relates to church growth. The first side is assimilation, assimilating new people into the congregation. The other side of that coin is retention. That is how to keep people from naturally going away. Once you understand that, there are really three main concepts. The first one is attrition. You have to know your attrition rate. At Southern Hills, our attrition rate is atrocious. I'll say that three times fast. Atrocious attrition, right?
Yeah, there you go.
That's terrible.
It's a transient city. It's very, people move in and they move out.
People are constantly coming into Vegas, but people are constantly moving out. One of the things that hurt us so badly during COVID was that so many people were genuinely moving out of Las Vegas. Our attrition rate is between 20 and 30% a year, which means if we do nothing, we're going to immediately, without trying to, we're going to lose 20 to 30% every single year from our church. So we can go have a 1,000 people. Let's say you had 1,000 people. By the end of the year, you're going to average around 750 to 700 people if you don't add anybody. So what does that mean? That means if you don't know your attrition rate, which might be 10% per year, it might be 15%. Let's say your attrition rate is 15% per year. That means to grow, you have to grow by more than 15% per year. You have to grow, if you want to grow by 10% and your attrition rate is 15%, you need to grow by 25% every single year.
That's math, folks.
Yeah, that's math. There it is. And that's as good as a homeschooler can get right there. So there's the math, folks. Attrition, you got to know your rate. To do that, you have then can move into assimilation. When I say attrition, you've got to know your rate. I say assimilation, you have to have a system. You have to have a system set in place. And it doesn't matter what your system is. It could literally be an Excel spreadsheet of names and checkboxes beside the names. If it's that simple as a church planter, do that. But assimilation means you know who was there when they visited, when they were a first-time guest, when they were a second-time guest, when they were a regular attender, when they became a member, and what you do to encourage them onto their next step. It's called the assimilation process. And if you go back a few episodes, you'll find an entire episode by Blake Hunt. It was early 2020. In fact, it got lost in the shuffle because that's right when COVID was hitting.
Yeah.
A great episode all about assimilation.
Yeah, episode 56 was assimilation with Blake Hunt. That kind of was right before we started, you know, a block of episodes dealing with transitioning with COVID and everything that happened. And at the very end of that, you know, kind of block was episode 63 of retention with Fred Murray, talking about the forgotten key to church growth. So I'd highly recommend going back and listening to those if you missed them.
So when it comes to closing the back door, it really is those three words: attrition, know your rate; assimilation, have a system; and retention, keep them from leaving by having a retention system. And for us, retention system, go back and listen to the episode. Basically, we say, what do you do when somebody misses 1 week? What do you do when they miss two? What do you do when they miss three? What are you doing when they miss four? It's a great, great session on how to practically keep people in the church.
So that's closing the back door. Last question here.
Oh, okay, here we go.
As a pastor,
yeah,
how should I develop real and authentic relationships with my staff and church members? It's almost as if like you could write something that would tell people how to do this.
Yeah, I wish somebody wrote a book on this subject that talked about friendships and relationships. Some of you
might be friends with people I work with.
Okay, some of you are a little cynical. You're a little skeptical. You're like, oh, you added this question. I'm telling you, this is an actual email that I've received just recently, as well as multiple times throughout the Idea Network's history. People really do, pastors really do have this question. How can I actually have real and authentic relationships with my staff? How can I have real and authentic relationships with my church members? Is it even possible? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. The last two chapters of my book, The Quest for Friendship, deal specifically with these questions. Drew, I'd be interested from your perspective. I mean, you're on the other side of this. We've become friends, not only of friends, but church members, and then from church members to deacons, and now you're on the board of our church and serve with the ID Network, all of these things. Talk to us as somebody who is not a preacher, what it's like to develop that friendship, and is that possible?
Yeah, I think I think your chapter does sum it up very well. You have a whole section on working with friends. I thought was really great. You mentioned, your relationship with Fred and Jason and how they've been with you almost from the beginning. From my perspective, yeah, it's certainly possible. Just knowing like exactly what I can rely upon you for and what not. Like, you're not the kind of guy I'm going to call up on a Friday night last minute and say like, hey, you want to go to the park with my kids?
Right, right.
Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But if I plan like a dinner once a quarter with you and your wife, you'll love that. And like, you'll appreciate the effort of me doing that. So trying to know those boundaries and what the friendship is and what it's not, I think it's helpful.
You know, and whenever you do know what the friendship is, it can blossom and grow. But when you don't, I talk a lot about boundaries in there. I talk a lot about properly understanding the classifications of where that friendship is. That's where hurt feelings are often found and where we don't allow the relationship to blossom into what it could be or what it should be. It really is an important chapter. I do encourage you to get the book. I'm not trying to dodge the question, but it just would disservice you to give the answer bluntly in the next 2 minutes when it's fleshed out so well in those two chapters. But if you're sitting there with a spirit of a bit of loneliness and saying, man, I've got a few good pastor friends, but I barely see them. Can I develop real friendships with the church members? Can I develop real friendships with my staff? The answer is 100% yes. You just need to know how to set up those boundaries. You need to know what to invest and how to invest, what to expect and what not to expect based on your personality type.
And you heard it at the beginning of this episode, but you'll hear it again. A way to get that book is by going to ideanetwork.church and clicking on the store tab.
Yeah.
And I'm excited now because there's a digital version available.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really do the paper very much.
Yeah.
So I love the fact that you have a digital download on there now, and you can purchase the book there.
You absolutely can. And hey, I will say this, by the time this releases, I know we're not supposed to date ourselves in these podcasts, but nonetheless, by the time this releases, it should be available on Amazon, Kindle, iBooks, and a lot of other formats. True. Now, people have asked about Audible. It may be available at Audible by the end of the summer. That's a longer process. But pick up one of those books. Now, if you buy it at ideanetwork.church, it is discounted. If you want it easily and get it quicker and go through Amazon, you're more than welcome to do so. We'd love you to pick up the book, The Quest for Friendship. And hey, if you haven't signed up for the Idea Night yet, you can go on ideanetwork.church and sign up for that as well.
AMA number 5, folks, in the books. There it is.
There it is, man.
Thanks again for tuning in. Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.